So, forgive and release. I know we've all heard it before, but I'm going to go right back to the beginning with it. And as I say, we're going to unpack it in a whole different way, because God gives us revelation that is ongoing, and there is so much more that we can now put into place with it. So just bear with me. And just, God, we thank you for this open heaven. We thank you for the angelic that is here with us today. And we just partner with the angels, and we release them now to bring revelation and truth, to take the blinds off our eyes for us to see what you need us to see today. We welcome you here. We partner with you. And we just release the river of life to flow freely in this place today. So from the very beginning, we were created by God to know him in intimacy, to have an intimate relationship with him and know him as our Father. Because of what happened with Adam and Eve, that kind of got messed up in a very big way through sin. Sin, one definition, is missing the mark. And that's what happened right back then. Adam and Eve, through sin, missed the mark. And that connection with God, that intimacy with God, was separated. And we could no longer know him in that intimate way. God wants us to love him more than anything else. And in Matthew 22:37, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. But we're unable to do that because sin has tainted us and it spoilt us and separated us from God. But God is a God of justice, so he can't overlook that fact. He can't say, oh, I love you so much, that doesn't matter. What he had to say was, I need to deal with that so that I can have intimacy with people again. Because his desire is always for relationship. And the way that he did that was he sent Jesus. Jesus came to deal with the consequences of missing the mark of our separation with God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus, our Lord. So Jesus is the way that we can have access back and reconciliation with the Father. And he dealt with all the consequences of sin when he died on the cross. He took the penalty on himself. He dealt with our sin, he dealt with my sin, he dealt with yours. Because the debt of sin has been paid, we can now know God. We can be forgiven. And that is really the whole basis of the gospel, is when we come to God through Jesus, we experience forgiveness. This is what we call salvation. This is what we call being born again, being reconciled and restored in relationship for God through forgiveness that Jesus won for us at the cross when he dealt with everything. Can't work for it, can't earn it, it's not through good works. You can't find it any other way but through Jesus. Jesus is the way to God. When you became a Christian, or when you become a Christian, God completely forgives you. Before we know God, we stand in unrighteousness. The Bible says that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Everybody was tainted by what happened back with Adam and Eve. But when we become Christians, that is wiped away. The Bible says that God remembers our sin no more. He wipes our slate clean. The past has been dealt with. And at the cross, this amazing exchange takes place, where everything I was, everything I've been through, everything about me becomes new in Jesus. And I take on a whole new life. I take on a whole new identity. My sins are wiped away completely. And that's what the exchange is all about. My life exchanged for Jesus' life. Get new clothes. We talk about rags, filthy rags, and we talk about robes of righteousness. Because Jesus gives me a robe of righteousness, it means I can stand before God. It means I can come into intimacy with God and know him as my Father. And that's the basis of our new life. That's what it's all about. This forms our restoration, our reconciliation with God, and it enables us to start to walk out our destiny and fulfill the things that God has called us to do. As most of us know who have come into a relationship with Jesus, forgiveness is amazing. When you know that you're forgiven, it is amazing. Part of our new life is God wants us to demonstrate that in our lives with each other. So we experience forgiveness from God to us, but he requires us to show the same grace and mercy to others as he has shown to us. There are many verses in the Bible that talk about forgiveness. And I'm just going to go through a few of them today. So there are loads more, and you can look up them yourself. But Matthew 6:14 says, "If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." This is the thing that we need to take on board. God freely forgives us, but he requires us to do the same. Luke 16:6:37, "Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven." Oh, it's a clever one. Ephesians 4:32, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." Colossians 3:13, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." And we could go on and on and on, but we're going to stop there with the verses. But basically, this can be tough, and I'm sure some of us might be sitting there now thinking, but you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what's happened in my life. Forgiveness can be difficult, but actually it's the key to freedom. It's the key to escaping from the prisons that we have been in. And we can feel justified to carry anger. And I'm going to talk about it as unforgiveness, and I'm also going to call it resentment, because I understand that the community is called resentment. So whenever I say unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, it's all the same, okay? Now, I'm going to look at this passage, which is quite long. It's from the Voice version of the Bible, but this is what we're going to base this morning on. It's Matthew 18:23. "If you want to understand the kingdom of heaven, think about a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Just as the king began to get his accounts in order, his assistants called his attention to a slave who owed a huge sum to him, what a labourer might take in 500 lifetimes. The slave, maybe an embezzler, had no way to make restitution, so the king ordered that he, his wife, their children, and everything the family owned be sold on the auction block. Proceeds from the slave sale would go towards paying back the king. Upon hearing this judgment, the slave fell down, prostrated himself before the king, and begged for mercy. 'Have mercy on me, and I will somehow pay you everything.' The king was moved by the pathos of the situation, so indeed he took pity on the servant, told him to stand up, and then forgave the debt. But the slave went and found a friend, another slave who owed him about 100 days' wages. 'Pay me back that money,' shouted the slave, throttling his friend and shaking him with threats and violence. The slave's friend fell down prostrate and begged for mercy. 'Have mercy on me, and I will somehow pay you everything.' But the first slave cackled and was hard-hearted and refused to hear his friend's plea. He found a magistrate and had his friend thrown into prison, where he said, 'You will sit until you can pay me back.' The other servants saw what was going on. They were upset, so they went to the king and told him everything that had happened. The king summoned the slave, the one who had owed so much money, the one whose debt the king had forgiven. The king was livid. 'You slovenly scum,' he said, seething with anger. 'You begged me to forgive your debt, and I did.' What would be the faithful response to such latitude and generosity? Surely you should have shown the same charity to a friend who was in your debt. The king turned over the unmerciful slave to his brigade of torturers, and they had their way with him until he should pay his whole debt. And that is what my Father in heaven will do to you, unless you forgive each of your brothers and each of your sisters from the very cockles of your heart." There it is. So God freely forgives us, but he requires us to do the same. This is a picture of our relationship with God. The king knew the servant couldn't pay. We can never repay God. We've already learned that. There's nothing that we can do. Jesus did it all. He paid our price. We can never repay it. The king felt compassion. God loves us. He found a way where we could be reconciled to him. He forgave and cancelled the debt. God forgives us. He's forgiven us already. It's already been done, and he has cancelled our debt. The servant found someone who owed him. We all have people who owe us. We have all been mistreated. We all have things that have happened to us which have caused us pain and wound. and the servant didn't want to show mercy. Anybody relate to that? The king was not happy and he sent the servant to the torture chamber. Now, that's what happens to us when we don't forgive. The good news is God enables us to do so. So what we're looking at today is we don't want to be in the torture chamber. What's the torture chamber? Bitterness, anger, resentment, fear, unforgiveness leads to all sorts of horrible, horrible things. We don't want that. We want freedom. We want life in abundance. We want everything that God has for us. So God has forgiven me and he requires me to forgive. What does it mean? What is resentment, bitterness and unforgiveness? It's hurt not dealt with, which festers and grows on the inside. So here as a church, often we talk about the garden of our hearts. We often talk about on the inside of us, deep down, there's a place which is a garden, which has soil, which, you know, it's our intimate place with God. But in our heart, we have this soil. And we're going to look at some really simple illustrations about how this works out, which are actually very powerful. God's heart for every person is to know him. God loves everyone. We are born out of his heart in eternity. We know that our spirit was born out of the heart of God in eternity, where it was agreed our destiny, where God has so much plans and purposes for every single one of us. And when we become born into this realm, in the physical realm, we know that we are a spirit that becomes embedded into a body with a soul. We become threefold, body, soul, and spirit. God's heart is that we are a spirit, that we are led by the spirit, that we fulfill our destiny. And his heart for all of us, the ideal scenario, is that we would be born into a family that would demonstrate and represent the heart of God for all of us. Where we will be loved as God loves. Where we will get everything that we need so that our inside soil, our heart, the essence of our soul would be secure, because from that place we could then fulfill our destiny in God. So God would desire us to have acceptance, affirmation, appreciation, encouragement and love from that place of security, where we would then be taught how to live in faith, we could live godly lives, our emotions could be healthy, we could be all that God desired us to be, and we can live from our spirit and not our soul. Deep inside us, in our heart, we have this soil. And soil, as we know, grows. You know, different plants need different kinds of soil. For positive, good things to grow, we need the secure soil. Family should represent and provide an atmosphere where good soil can be nurtured. How we are brought up, our upbringing, forms the basis for our belief system and our coping mechanisms and our defense mechanisms. The family that you were born into would shape how you form your belief system. Unfortunately, for most of us, it probably wasn't how God intended. And we started off pretty messed up. Most of us have had dysfunctional lives in some way, and instead of having a soil of security on the inside where all the positive things would embed and shape us, for most of us, we've had a soil of insecurity. Positive things don't settle too well in insecure soil, and that's what shapes us. So our soil is fertile, that's what it will attract. So different, if you have a negative soil, you will tend to attract negative things. We'll look at that in a minute. So a soil of insecurity will result in a lack of acceptance, information, appreciation, encouragement and love. So if in our early days, in our upbringing, if our family situations, we haven't received what we really needed, or we were born into dysfunction, our soil is insecure. And that means it will attract negative things rather than positive things. And it will be a fertile soil for disappointment, hurt, and pain. So how does it work? Seeds come into our life in various different ways. What are seeds? What people said. So as a person, what people said, not my thing. Words, actions, things people say. people say hurtful things to you, if you've been brought up in an environment where you've been told you're useless, you're a failure, you're too fat, you're ugly, you'll never make anything of your life, you don't belong, what will you end up believing and what will your belief structure be formed? It will be formed to think you're useless, you're a failure, you'll never make anything of your life. There is power in words. There's an old saying, like, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's one of the most ridiculous things ever, because words are powerful. The Bible tells us that there is power of life and death is in the tongue. The things that are said to you go into an insecure, short soil, and it shapes you. Key words, negative words, they rob you of self-esteem. They rob you of who you are. You believe them, and you form your life structure upon them because you take them on board. They become who you are and how you act. You build your belief system based on them, and on the inside there's hurt and there's pain. People that say them, you feel it's not fair. Deep down, that's how you feel. You feel owed. There's a debt and it goes down into that soil, but because the soil is fertile, it sits in that soil. Positive things may be said about you sometimes. People may tell you you're lovely, they may tell you God loves you, they may tell you you're amazing, you're very talented, you're good at this. But if you have this seedbed of insecurity, it will be like water off a duck's back. And I'm sure we can all relate with people encouraging us at times, or us encouraging other people, and they just can't receive it. The reason is because the soil is not secure and nothing can take root. These things people don't say. When people don't say, I love you, you're amazing, I'm proud of you, you're really special. We have a need on the inside for those things to be said, and when they're not said, that also goes deep down and takes root. We need affirmation. Jesus had affirmation from God. We need it. Many people over the years have said things like, well, I suppose my parents loved me, they just didn't tell me. Well, we weren't really a very touchy-feely family. We didn't express our emotions very much. We explained things away. We just think, well, this is how it is. This is normal because it's me. It's normal for me. But deep down inside, we feel robbed. We feel owed. We feel like there's a debt. What people did, and this is a tough one, abuse of any description, whether it's emotional, mental, sexual, or physical, ends up making you feel no good, worthless, a failure, that you have no value, that you're inferior, you're weak, it makes you not a priority. And those seeds, when they occur to us, if our soil is insecure, they go down and they settle down into that soil. Bullying is such a big thing for so many people that shapes and affects the whole of their lives. When people are picked on and bullied for whatever reason, those seeds go down. Parents can leave, you feel abandoned. Teachers, so many people have been affected by the way that teachers have treated them over the years. You name it, you can all identify with things that have shaped or affected you by things that people have done. And it can become like an onion, where inside you have a single seed that is built on and built on and built on over time, that just gets added to, which compounds how you feel about yourself in the negative all the more. It becomes layers of hurt, and it lodges down on the inside, and deep inside somewhere you feel this isn't fair, you feel there's a debt. And it confirms what you already believe, because you feel about yourself the way that you do, other people say it, it just confirms it. Also, things people don't do. Broken promises. People promising to do things and never following through with it. There's a verse in the Bible that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you long for something, when you believe somebody's going to do something and they don't follow it through, when they don't affirm you, when they say they will, when they just let you down, people just let you down, it just compounds and it adds into this and it goes down deeper and deeper. People who are closest to us are often the main culprits. And I don't mean that in a blame way. This is not about apportioning blame. This is about identifying where in my life that I have wounds that God wants to heal me from and set me free. As you're sitting there, I'm aware for some people, you may start to feel really agitated. You may start to feel cross. Just work with God, work with the Holy Spirit, because God's heart for you is to be set free and to be whole. So parents, friends, teachers, church, sometimes church hurts people, the establishment, social services, you know, here in the day centre, we work with people who are broken. And, you know, sometimes the way that people are treated is just outrageous, which is why it's amazing to be able to stand for justice and see God bring justice and righteousness into situations. But those wounds go so deep. We can rationalise it. And for many of us, we don't want to lead bitter, angry lives. So it's not an intentional thing. And we're not bitter, angry people. But we can rationalise things and explain them away. And it's just allow God to show you what's real on the inside. And where does he want to heal you? Sometimes you think, well, it's just life. It might be just life, but actually God wants to give us life in abundance, and he can deal with those things that have shaped us to this point in our lives. There's a well-known saying, and I love it. It says, am I a product of my past, or am I a product of what Jesus did on the cross? Because we all have past, we've all had things that have happened, but Jesus came to set us free, to bind up the brokenhearted, to release the prisoners. It's such good news. What do we do with these seeds? So these things have happened. What do we do with them? Well, we can mull them over. Go round and round and round in your head. Bury them. Stuff happens. It's just life. I don't know what to do with it, so I'll push it down as far as I can possibly push it down. Can't deal with that. I'll ignore it. Maybe it'll go away. Does it go away? Nope. We build defence mechanisms to cope. We all have coping mechanisms. Mine will be different to yours, but we all have them that enable us to get on and live. So we build our walls. We make inner vows. We say, well, no one else will ever hurt me like that again. I'm not going to let anyone get that close to me. We project. We blame other people. Well, it's your fault. You. We live behind walls to give ourselves a safe place. Or we might think, I'll get them. And we plan revenge. And we plan what we're going to do. And it might never get any further than in our heads. Sometimes it does get further. But sometimes it doesn't get any further than in our heads. But how wearing is it? I know myself, sometimes something happens and you know you need to deal with it. You know you need to forgive. But actually, I want to spend a bit of time going there. It's exhausting, isn't it? The sooner we learn to do this, forgive, the better. When we don't forgive, this is what happens. The seeds that have gone deep down into the soil produce roots. And this is really the issue. The seed germinates in that fertile soil and it produces root. And the Bible talks about roots of bitterness, stroke resentment, stroke unforgiveness. It says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God and no bitter root grows up to cause trouble. Keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discontent. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time. Roots. What happens if you're in a garden and you have a weed and you pick the top off the weed? What happens? It grows back. It's not enough to just deal with things at the surface level, because those seeds that go in that are undealt with form roots of bitterness. So you can be sweet and lovely on the surface, and you can be a bubbling cesspit going on deep on the inside. Unforgiveness is like cancer. It eats away at the inside, and it's known medical fact that it can cause anxiety, depression, jealousy. It can be an entrance for the demonic. It can be a cause of arthritis, depression. There are many physical conditions which they will associate with unforgiveness. It's real and we don't want it. It causes trouble and it defiles many. And it affects how you think. Bitterness affects our thinking. It distorts and it twists the truth, because you see everything through it. If I have a root of bitterness towards Sam, if he's really upset me, and I haven't dealt with it, every time I look at Sam, I see him through my root of bitterness and unforgiveness. It affects everything. It distorts the way that you think. It affects our perception of people and situations. We develop thought patterns which become beliefs which actually don't reflect the truth because of the distortion and the lies that are set up deep on the inside of us and we see through filters. Our speech become negative and poisonous against certain people. So, can I pick on you? Somebody might say, didn't Sam do a good job this morning on his guitar? Well, you think so? Do you think he did? Well, I don't think he did. I think he's rubbish. If I have an unresolved issue towards Sam and hear everything, other people will say nice things and I'm like, oh. We need to be careful and examine deep down on the inside and what's your thinking? Ask God to show you afresh. So we can be poisonous against people, against ourselves. You know, we can have this stuff against ourselves also, but we'll talk about that next week. The mention of a name can cause a reaction. That's sometimes how you know you've got an issue. Mention of Sam might cause me to do that. Then we need to examine it. And it affects how you feel. When you've been wounded, when you've got hurt deep down on the inside, there's very emotive language that we use. We feel like we've been punched in the stomach, kicked in the guts, oh, this is falling off, stabbed in the heart. They're well-known sayings, aren't we? I'm sure that we've all used them. They're an indication of what's going on the inside. You can feel sick in the pit of your stomach sometimes. Sometimes if somebody has really hurt you, you can see them in the distance walking down the road and you start to feel sick, an indication that there's a wound there. When we don't deal with it, it goes down inside and it festers. We can bury the pain and we can be all pleasant and lovely. And then something happens and you go, you explode. So not dealt with, that hurtful word germinates. And you feel owed and you feel it's not fair. And you want everyone else to feel it's not fair as well. Then what happens? Oh, I've really lost it now. That shoot that produced the root grows up and produces fruit. That fruit of resentment, stroke bitterness, stroke unforgiveness, that's fruit that comes on the outside. Because so far, we've talked about things that have affected us on the inside, but the fruit is what comes out on the outside. And we can be like a volcano exploding when they're really, you know, somebody who says, you know, somebody mentions a name now and it's just like there's an explosion and it's nothing to do with what's happened now. It could be something that happened way in the past, but you push someone's button and you can see that it's all there. Where there is fruit, which is the external behaviours, attitudes, there's always a root and we need to deal with the roots. Anybody know any prickly people? Don't get too close. Usually there's a root of rejection in there. And they're so afraid of being hurt, they'll keep you out there so that you don't get too close to hurt them. There's always a reason. Unfortunately, God's got all the answers. Angry people, they're hurting usually inside. Something's happened, maybe an injustice, something's happened on the inside and it's caused them pain and it comes out in anger. Hurting on the inside comes out in anger and bitterness. So examples of fruit could be anger, criticism, anxiety, fear, mistrust, all of those things. But the roots on the inside could be rejection, betrayal, fear. And what we need to know is, what's the root? What's going on in the inside? Sometimes we just don't know what to do. So we just package it away. We try and put it away, lock the door, throw away the key. But it doesn't help because it comes out in what you say. Negative, critical, judgmental, cynical, unkind, bitter, gossip. Sometimes we can control it, but what happens when we're under pressure? What happens when something happens that rocks us a little bit? That's when it comes out. Bible says, from the heart the mouth speaks. So what's on the inside will come out. Or we can turn it inwards. And that's sometimes where depression can come from, when people don't deal with things, they don't lash out, but they turn it inwards and it becomes turned on themselves. And it affects what you do. Behaviour and lifestyle become negative. Often, these things that we've previously talked about can be where addiction can come from. There's normally something that is so painful deep down on the inside that we don't know what to do with, which can lead us into destructive behaviours. It might not be one thing, it might be a culmination, but there is usually something which can be an addiction in any area. I'm not just talking about drugs and alcohol, it could be chocolate, it could be TV, it could be sex, it can be whatever you want to say. Eating disorders, antisocial behaviour, comfort eating, mental health issues, sickness, arthritis, you can go on and on and on. On and on. It's the open doorway for the enemy to bring oppression and depression. People don't sleep, they go over and over and over things in their minds at night. Particularly it can get worse where you're just mulling things over and over and over where you've been wronged, how life is so unfair. Stress, cancer, all of those things can be a result of undealt with wounds and pain. So we can see the soil is our heart, which is insecure through lack of love, acceptance, affirmation, approval and encouragement. The seeds are offences, things said or done or not said or done. Roots, things you think or feel, responses, emotions, attitudes and fruits, things you say or do, but your behaviours. We have an enemy that wants to rob, kill and destroy. And this is often the way that he has access to do so. But Jesus came to give us life in abundance. Unforgiveness keeps us in prisons. It keeps us in bondage. It gives us access to the enemy, keeps us in chains, oppression, depression, which is the torture chamber that the previous passage was talking about. The aim of unforgiveness is death. And it blocks our relationship with God, we've already seen. If we don't forgive, God won't forgive us. A person affected by unforgiveness remains a victim. And sometimes terrible things happen to us. But while we stay in this cycle, we remain a victim. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting someone else to die. Unforgiveness keeps you in prison. Unforgiveness keeps you in chains and bondage. Now, we often have excuses as to why we don't need to forgive people. They don't deserve it. True, probably. Did we deserve God's forgiveness? No, but he forgave us anyway. And he will enable us to forgive so that we will come into freedom. Often people don't deserve to be forgiven. But if you don't, who suffers? Them or you? It's a sign of weakness. If I forgive them, I'm letting off the hook. It's a sign of weakness. Actually, the strongest thing you can ever do is forgive. Feels like betrayal. This can be a big one when someone close to you has been treated really badly because you feel like you're letting someone off the hook. But actually, you don't let them off God's hook. God's a God of justice. He will deal with whatever he needs to deal with. This is about us coming into freedom, coming into intimacy, coming into our wholeness that God has for us. Then said sorry. Again, who suffers? You're not doing it for them. You're doing it for yourself to bring you into freedom and restoration. Person is dead. Again, this is for us to move on, to recover, to be free, to be healed and whole. I just want to read this. It's called The Debt. Unforgiveness says, you owe me, you are in my debt, a debt so deep it can never be paid. I will not let you pay it. That debt is an iron chain which binds the injured to the injurer, the victim to the perpetrator, the offended to the offender, growing old, bitter, imprisoned together. Forgiveness is the choice to break that chain, the courage to walk away, the strength to say, despite the injury and the wrong, you owe me nothing. Here is true forgiveness, that God, angered by my rebellion, my disobedience, my waywardness, seeing the debt I owe to him, seeing that I could not pay, came in his mercy, nailed all that I owe to the cross of his son, paid my debt himself and spoke forgiveness over me. I owe him nothing. and those cursed chains that should have bound me to his anger become arms of love that hold me to his heart. I owe him everything. It's written by Barbara Day Parsons in 2010. It's powerful stuff, isn't it? The importance of forgiveness is to acknowledge that there is a debt. That's the first step that we need to do, is acknowledge that in here, somewhere, we feel wronged. There is something that has hurt us, that has wounded us, that has caused us pain. There is an invoice. Jeff, have you got any money? No. But there is an invoice. There is a debt that needs to be paid. Where you have not received God's best, you are owed. This is not about blaming people.
Sorry.
This is not about blaming people. Forgiveness involves emotion. You know, if you forgive someone at this level, you haven't actually dealt with it in here. God wants to come in and release the pain, the wounds on the inside, and bring his healing and his restoration. For so many people, I've forgiven them. That's not forgiveness, that's making a mental note of something. And this is the bit that I need to do with change. This is the bit that makes the difference. The whole basis of this is forgive and release. Because what we are saying is, there's a debt. I am owed. And this is the example that God showed me a very long time ago. I'll use Jo with her money. So Jo says to me, Deb, can you lend me some money? £5, please. And I say, there you go, Jo. When are you going to pay it me back? And she says, I'll give it to you on Tuesday. So Tuesday comes, and I say, you got my money, Jo? And she'll say, no, I haven't. Sorry. But you owe me £5. I haven't got it. Okay, I forgive you, you've not given me the money. What does she still owe me? She still owes me £5. If I say to her, Jo, that's fine, I forgive you for not paying me the money, but I cancel your debt, she then owes me nothing. That's the principle. That's what forgive and release is all about. It's acknowledging the debt, and it's cancelling it. And inside, you might be going, you might be going crazy on the inside, but that's what Jesus is all about, because that's the difference. If you do it from here, you won't forgive. You have to acknowledge the debt. You cancel the invoice. God then comes in. He will release the pain, the anger, the betrayal, the disappointment, the rejection, the fear, whatever it is that you've been carrying. You're giving it to God. You're cancelling it, and you're saying to the person that wounded you most deeply, you owe me nothing. I wipe your slate clean, and that is your path to freedom. Which is really exciting. What I don't forgive, what I don't forgive, I lock up in my heart. Who suffers? Me. I just told this here. How does this work? What do we do? We identify those people who have hurt you. And how? How have they hurt you? What have they done? Make a list. Write an invoice. You face how you feel. Be real. You tell God. Do you know what? He knows. He knows anyway. You acknowledge what effect this has had in your life, how it has shaped you. You look to the cross. Jesus took all sin, even sin that was done to you. So he took your sin, and he took sin that has been done to you. Let the cross be that place of exchange. Decide to forgive. It's a choice. Do you know what? You will never choose to forgive somebody who has hurt you. It's a choice, it's an act of will. And then God comes and he joins with you in that. Name the offences, be specific. Choose to cancel the debt, wipe the slate clean. See Jesus there as your healer and ask him to release your pain. Repent for your own attitudes, because let's face it, we might have been wronged, but we probably had a little bit of a bad attitude party as well as a result of things have been to us. If we have lived in unforgiveness, bitterness, anger, rage, murderous thoughts, whatever it might be, then we want to be pure and holy before God. So we need to own our part and repent for our wrong attitudes, emotions, unforgiveness and judgments that we have made. Judgments are really powerful, but we'll talk about that another time. Rip up your list, your invoice, and cancel the debt. Pray for the person. At the beginning, you might be a million miles away from thinking that you could do that. But what I will say to you is, when this happens, when it works, you do. Because Jesus will heal you. When you have a wound and it scabs over, your wound is still there. Jesus comes and he scoops out all the pus and all the hurt and the pain, and it is not there anymore. That's what this is all about. Not covering and sticking plasters on things. It's about removing them completely so that we can move on. Now, I appreciate that's really full and hard on. For some of us, we've been on this journey a long time, and we try and live lives like this, and that's just a reminder of how we do this. For others of us, we might be really new on this journey. We do not expect you to do this on your own. We are here together. We have a ministry team. Karen will always arrange for people to have appointments. We have so many tools now which God has given us, which again we'll talk about more in depth next week, but we don't just have this. This is part of our toolbox, with libusts and going to the courts and deliverance and renouncing judgments and all sorts of things. You know, we are so blessed. God has given us a toolbox to work with. Don't be overwhelmed. Just today, what I'm going to do, we're going to do an activation. Again, this is outside of my comfort zone, but anyway, we're going to do an activation. And if God has shown you one thing today, then bring that one thing now. As we're just going to pray, let's just close our eyes, and we're just going to just come to God. So I want you to, we are stepping now into the realms of heaven. And I want you to see yourself in a green meadow with a river running by. And as you look around, you see Jesus sat on a rock. And as you approach him and you walk up to him, he gives you a piece of paper and a pen. And he encourages you to write down something, someone, that has caused you pain. It could be a person, it could be an event or a situation, something that has really affected you, that God has shown you today, and he wants you to be specific with what you put down. And then he wants you to talk to him about it. He wants you to tell him how you feel. It's okay to express anger, betrayal, sadness. It's not fair. Whatever it is, he wants you to tell him. And he's going to give you a choice. And the choice is, will you forgive? And if you choose yes, he wants you to give him the pain, that wound, the root of that wound, and allow him into the deepest places of your heart He will release that pain. And he will pour in his healing. He'll take that heavy yoke. He'll break those chains. He'll bring his peace. He'll exchange your pain for peace, for hope, for healing. Allow him to speak words of life and truth over you. If you were rejected, he wants you to know that you were chosen, that he chose you, that you are loved, that you are precious. Whatever you have brought to him, let him bring his salve and fill your wounds and cancel it. Own your part, repent, renounce where you have been wrong, where you've been holding on to resentment. And when you feel that you're done and there's no, just carry on. And take your piece of paper, your invoice, and rip it up. Or burn it. Or get rid of it. Because what you are saying is then it's no longer a debt. That debt has been cancelled. And you can walk free from that particular prison. It's just receive God's love. So, stay as long as you need to stay in that place. But for those who are back here, that's the essence of forgive and release. We will continue to unpack this next week. I appreciate for some, God may have started to go really deeply. Again, please do not struggle on your own. We have people here. If this morning you need someone to stand with you or to pray with you, that's what we're here for. And if you don't know Jesus and not yet embarked on this, the most important thing that you know is that God wants an intimate relationship with you, and that is available for you here today and all of the rest that we've talked about. It's our inheritance that we can be whole.